This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady's in the gun. Collie and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are back home to take on the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday Night Football.
Patriots trailing by three. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Prince for the end zone. And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Week number five for the Patriots, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals tonight at Gillette Stadium.
Taking on the world!
Sunday night.
They're all against us.
Football.
Everybody's against us. ESPN is against us. Everybody.
Welcome to the program, everybody.
I feel like I need to channel my inner Fred Kirsch, and that's what he'd be saying.
Everyone's out for us?
Yep. It's us against the world. They're all taking shots at us. Chris Mortensen, ESPN, the Boston Globe making up reports, all that. That's what Fred would be saying. And since he's not here, I'm going to channel it. Because you know that's what they're using in the locker room. Everybody's
Maybe.
Against us. The world's against us. Nobody thinks you can win. PFW, everybody picked the Bengals in your own team newspaper. Which isn't true. I think one person picked the Patriots. But for the most part, the Bengals were the pick. I'm sure later in this show, if they're listening to the Patriots pregame social, all these experts on the radio will be picking the Bengals. That's what they're saying.
Maybe. Maybe that's what they're saying. We'll talk more
or
about
maybe
that.
Maybe they're like, we suck.
I'm Mark Bertrand. Paul Perillo is going to join us in a couple of minutes. He's doing his other radio hit. Andy Hart here with you. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you to get on the phone lines during the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
I'm jacked up.
855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. On Twitter, use the hashtag PPGS. That's right, PPGS. GS, thank you for the Twitter sound effect. Kevin Collins back behind the board in his usual position this week. This week has been anything but usual for the Patriots and everything that has gone on this week, Andy. It has been following a loss on Monday night for Kansas City. It's been a crazy week. And you just touched on a little bit of it. Here's the latest. Here's the latest part of it. ESPN, Chris Mortensen reporting earlier this afternoon. I'll read directly from the report at ESPN.com. Tension exists between Tom Brady and the New England Patriots coaching staff, and multiple sources told ESPN that they believe it could influence whether the quarterback finishes his career with the team that he has led to three Super Bowl titles. Two sources told ESPN that rookie quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted as Brady's successor, and the move could happen, quote, sooner than later. No source suggested that sooner would mean a change during the 2014 season. Much of Brady's frustration relates to the downsizing of the Patriots offense that stems from questionable personnel decisions. Brady's input into game plans, personnel groups, and pre-snap adjustments has significantly diminished. One team source told ESPN that a conservative approach is necessary and said everyone needs to be patient to allow the team and staff to get on the same page. Brady's declining performance has also been cited internally, a source told ESPN. So Chris Mortensen now reporting that Brady and the coaching staff have a rift that could potentially have an impact on whether or not he continues his career in a Patriots uniform. That is dropping on the day of the game after a week, Andy, that featured all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, Kenbrell Tompkins being cut last night. Aaron Dobson reportedly mouthed off. Then there was a statement issued by Bill Belichick that he didn't, and that report
Everyone
was false.
Everyone sucks but me.
Oh, the best part of the statement was that he said, I'll have a comment on that later in his press conference.
And then issued it 3
Where
hours
normally
later.
Coaches make statements.
Right. That's typically the place to give a statement.
Especially when the statement, in my opinion, was disappointing. There was nothing in the statement that you couldn't have said live on a microphone to the media unless you were uncomfortable, thought you might get emotional and lash out or something of that nature.
Oh, also, Danny Amendola being asked this week about the way he's been playing, you know, did it affect you that you didn't have surgery? Oh, well, I did have surgery.
Right.
Like, this has been the kind of week that it has been in Foxborough. And as you said, you know, the everyone's against us thing. And as you know, if you watched the Football Life documentary with Bill Belichick a couple of years ago, the sign on the door, you know, don't listen to the noise.
Ignore the noise.
Ignore the noise. There's been a lot of noise this week. There's been a lot of things outside of the, you know, X's and O's, things between the white lines that have happened outside of the football game itself on Monday night, which, oh, by the way, was a really bad outcome and bad performance for this team. And now they're working on a short week coming into a game tonight against the Cincinnati Bengals team that's 3-0, hasn't lost a game yet, and they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this matchup.
This is the type of week that the Jets deal with on a regular basis in the Rex Ryan era. You know, this is that type of week that when you're a middling, disappointing football team, stories, whispers, sources, rumors, reports all start to pop up. Now, obviously, the worst part of this week was last Monday night, and we broke that down in the Xbox One post-game show. That was the worst part of this week, that you got your ass kicked.
Yes.
All this other stuff has been, what's the opposite of gravy on top? Piling on, I guess. And
is that too much gravy?
I don't know. Something.
Can you have too much gravy?
No, because then you get another roll, and you just sop it up with the roll and eat it.
A little more potatoes
right
there. Right.
Never have too much gravy.
Okay, go ahead.
Note to self, don't make food reference to Mark. Derailed show. But this is, I mean, we've talked about this. We know things like this could have popped up in the past. But you know what cures it? Winning in the one vision, one focus, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, leadership, all that, right? Well, now, if the reports are to be believed, well, Brady might not be quite on the same page as Bill Belichick and the coaching staff, and you're losing, and that 43 guy is absolutely killing the New York Football Jets. Whoever that guy is who looks like Darren Sproles is absolutely on fire today. Where was I? Yeah, it's been a bad week. You're right. And, you know, the first thing I think some of us, as we take some of the, okay, so the Dobson thing never happens. Everybody says basically never happened. Well, then they cut Kenbrell Tompkins. Was there any chance that the Boston Globe just had the name in its report wrong? That the source was right, that a fight occurred, but the fight was between Kenbrell Tompkins and Josh McDaniels?
Andy, it has crossed my mind.
And I think it crossed a lot of people's minds immediately upon that review. Regardless, it's not good. It is not good. I get back to what we've been talking about for weeks now. We didn't know who the offensive line was going to be to start the year, and that all plans there seem to have been scrapped after 3 weeks. We're going to start these rookies. We're going to rotate. Well, I would say the same thing about wide receiver. We did a redo last spring, a year ago from this spring, and that redo looks like it really sucked right about now. Josh Boyce already on the practice squad. Kenbrell Tompkins cut. Danny Amendola bitching about having off-season surgery and being irrelevant. So the only guy that's left is Aaron Dobson, and he's got, what, one catch this year for 13 yards and found himself in a little scandal brouhaha. So, he didn't have a fight with Josh McDaniels. You know what that means? He's not good enough to get on the football field. I almost liked it when I thought it was a fight with Josh McDaniels. At least they were just keeping him down because he was a productive punk.
I'm with you. It makes it worse.
Now he's just an unproductive, nice kid. Right?
Which is worse,
I think,
in my mind.
I'd rather have the productive punk.
I'd rather have a guy who can play, but he's a total jerk, and because of it, he was being disciplined. But guess what? He can still go out and play when we need him.
And guess what? Sunday Night Football, primetime. Undefeated 3-0 Bengals team that, in my opinion, is pretty damn talented. And in my opinion, the one thing or two things that hold them back is you always say, well, Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton. Do I really trust Marvin Lewis to do whatever, or Andy Dalton to go on the road and beat Tom Brady in Foxborough? Well, so far, they've done it. They've been a team that doesn't turn the ball over. They force turnovers on defense. They run the ball. They play consistently on offense. They don't give up sacks. They don't give up bad plays. Now, Patriots fans will probably say, well, they're due. We're going to be the team that brings it out of them. But I think you have a really tough dogfight on. This was going to be a tough game if you were playing like you were supposed to be playing. But you're not, and I think that's why you've seen, and we brought this up, and I'm sure we'll have a caller later that'll talk about this, but the line has started out pro-Patriots and has significantly gone in the other direction, to the point where if the Patriots win tonight, it's what they'd call an upset.
An upset.
Upset. Somewhat major upset, too. Because the line is up to, what'd you say, 2.5?
I saw it in a few places at 3 right
now. At 3. So you add in the other 3 for the home field advantage, 6-point underdog.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Paul Perillo will be joining us in just a couple of minutes. That's when we will get to the keys to today's game. But it was a crazy week here in Foxborough. We're coming to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots take on the Bengals tonight on Sunday Night Football. We are here for a little bit more than, what, an hour and 45 minutes to go here on the show, and I'm sure we're going to hear from many of you before the end of this show as we get ready for tonight's game. Let's go to the phones and start things off with a guy who knows a thing or two about that moving line. That would be Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hefe. Good. What's up, man? The needle, it's a moving, huh?
Yeah, I feel like I'm about to be led to the executioner's chamber on death row or something like that. Yeah, it opened like New England 2, 2.5. Now it's just about to 3. Bengals -3.
That's pretty big. That's pretty big movement.
Yeah, it's borderline hysteria, you know, even in Vegas. And everyone's lining up. The whole general Patriots-hating public is just hoping for a horror show tonight, and they might just get it.
Wait, is that you talking?
Yeah, Andy, I mean...
Ooh, Jeff,
wow,
down on his team.
Little faith.
The Patriot-hating public includes Jeff in Vegas.
God, yeah, I feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone here. And like Mark and Felger and Maz, they've taken like a lot of the fun out of being a Patriots fan when all we talk about is how cheap they are.
Felger does that.
Come on, Jeff. That's
Kelly,
come on,
Jeff. Welker. I mean, it's piling on. Belichick now is sabotaging Tom Brady.
Yeah, that is a little bit ridiculous. No,
I don't know. I mean, what I mean, why? I mean, if they're not on the same page, maybe like any relationship, it's been 14 years. I mean, maybe they're at odds.
Yeah, but doesn't this feel like, okay, if we believe the report, so 4 weeks into a season, after a great 15-year, well, maybe we should just go our separate ways. This feels like the people that, I mean, did you stay together for the kids, and now the kids are all grown up, so it's time to go your separate ways?
That's the 15-year itch.
I mean, seriously, who's going through the midlife crisis here, Belichick or Brady? Because it seems like reacting to this way is a little quick and a little much to me.
For who? For Brady?
Either or. Yeah, well, how about we talk this out?
I don't feel that way.
Because, Tom, guess what? You know one of the reasons why we've acted the way we've acted? You've allowed us to.
Well, and now he's at a point where he isn't going to take it anymore.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have toted the company line for 15 straight years.
That's a fair criticism, Andy, but
you made your bed, now lie in it and shut your trap.
Yeah, I don't buy into that. I don't buy into that if he's had a change of heart, because he's reached a breaking point in his mind where he's realizing some things and he doesn't like what he's seeing. And so he now thinks it's time for that separation. If that's the case.
So the shoe's on the other foot and he doesn't like it.
And just for the sake of feeding into the hysteria, how much could the Texans use Brady right now? Get him off the cap, Jimmy G for pennies on the dollar?
I find it hard to believe he's going to be traded this year. That would be shocking to me, even shocking according to the Mort report.
So, Jeff, let's hear your pick. Are you picking the Bengals in this thing? What are we locking in?
That's going to bring us to the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Past performance, guys, does not equal future results. Different time than they're just, they don't have the horses. They don't have the horses. Their offense is in a phone booth right now. Edelman might get decapitated today. Bet your life savings. Bet the college fund. Bet the house on the Bengals tonight. I got him when it was a pick 'em. And if New England does it with smoke and mirrors and somehow wins, I'll take my medicine. And my kid can work at McDonald's. Bet the house on the Bengals.
Wait, Jeff, before you go, I got one more quick question.
Bet the house on
sure.
the Bengals.
What do you think the chances are Tom Brady is the opening day quarterback for the New England Patriots next September?
I'd say 40%. It happens fast, doesn't it? It happens in a heartbeat. And yeah,
apparently.
It could be like 31-0. This has happened several times. It's different this time. As much as I hate to say, they don't have the horses.
All right, we'll see you, Jeff.
Talk to you later.
I think Jeff's right. I think anybody who's picking the Patriots tonight is citing a resume.
I agree.
Is citing
that.
A press release. Well, you know, the Patriots at one are X number against X teams and this and that.
It's
I don't know. Watch the first four games and tell me what you'd pick tonight.
It's the team living on their reputation.
Exactly.
That they've got Tom Brady and they've got Bill Belichick. And that's,
well,
you know what?
Tom Brady right now is like the 30th ranked passer in the NFL or whatever. That's not necessarily a good thing.
I told you guys this last week. Pre-game, I said, if I'm picking the Patriots tonight against Kansas City, I'm doing it solely because they're the Patriots
correct.
In name.
And then they got blowed out.
And
as
you were the only one that picked Kansas City, and that's what you said. But I do agree with that. I'm not saying the Patriots can't win tonight.
No,
what I'm saying
think that's
is if you really have a lot of faith that the Patriots will go out there and win this game, you're doing so based on 14 years, not 2014.
Right.
Because there's a lot of reasons to pick the Bengals.
Yes.
They're coming off a bye. They're a good football team. They haven't given up a sack. They have one turnover all year. They're winning the turnover ratio. You know, there's plenty of reason to talk yourself into the Bengals based on 2014, not 2010, 11, 12, 13.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If you're talking about what's happened in 14, the way Cincinnati has played.
You pick the Bengals.
So you also eliminate history with Cincinnati.
Right.
If you're just talking about 14. So you're taking away the Bengals' choke. You know, the Andy Dalton can't win a big game.
Right.
Marvin Lewis is a mediocre 500 coach. They're 3-0. They're due for a loss.
True.
You're taking all that away, too.
Taking all
in addition
stuff
to all the Brady and Belichick greatness that we've seen over the last decade plus.
Give me one tangible reason to pick the Patriots tonight.
Tangible reason.
Not, they're due and they're this, anything. Tangible.
The Bengals haven't been able to run the ball all that well, and that was the big Patriots defensive weakness in the two games that they've lost is they haven't been able to stop it. Cincinnati might not be equipped to take advantage of it.
Yeah, but you know the other
Bernard.
Thing? Cincinnati is more than happy to do what the Patriots did against the Vikings. They're more than happy to run and run and run and say, this is the game we play. We don't need to be productive in the first quarter or the second quarter.
I was grasping at straws.
No, but I even think that way, and they say, well, look at the Patriots. We can run because it's not like they're going to be up 21-0 in the first quarter.
Right.
They don't score. So we can run. If we punt, we'll run the next drive.
We'll just keep running.
Right. They've outscored, what was my number? 44-3. They've outscored their opponents in three games in the first half. The Patriots, what do? They go 3-and-out and punt.
That's true.
I mean, there are so many factors in the 2014 that make this game look bad for the Patriots. Never mind all the crap going on. Brady's unhappy. Will Fork's holding meetings after games. Tompkins is cut. Dobson's is a good guy who can't play, or he's a bad guy who can play. I mean, all of these things, injuries, got guys popping up to him. Michael Buchanan's not injured, except he's injured.
Now, Paul and I have talked about this a little bit earlier in the week on the Sports Hub.
That negative show that's ruining football for everybody?
Well, apparently we're ruining the fan experience for everybody. But, Paul, this game, in my mind, is not a must-win.
No.
And some people have tried to make it out to be a must-win, that in order for us to buy into this team's hopes of, you know, being a big performer in the postseason, that this tonight would be a must-win. I don't think it's a must-win in terms of getting to the playoffs. And I also think there's so much time left in the season that this game, by the time you do get to the playoffs, is not going to be a good indicator of how you're going to perform come January.
I would agree with all of that. And I would say, I mean, the bottom line, and I know that Andy and I, you know, Andy especially has been on this kick, and I know we were sort of tongue-in-cheek in it, but the division, you know, last week we were talking, yeah, they're still 2-2, and they're in first place. And, you know, I know it looks terrible because they played so bad. But even now, you lose the game, you're one game behind Buffalo. Are you really afraid of Buffalo running away and hiding with the division? No. So, yeah, the Patriots need to get their house right. They're not playing well. But they also have to figure out, you also have to take into consideration, even if they don't figure it out tonight, they're only one game back. So to say the season's riding on tonight's game, I think is a little strong.
I think I liked how Fred put it. I believe he called it a must-compete game.
Yeah.
And if they don't compete, then the season's over. If they don't come out, they can lose, but they got to come out and compete. They got to battle. They got to fight. They got to make some play well on different sides of the ball, whatever. I kind of agree with him.
Yeah,
otherwise, I think these Jets-like little fires that have been popping up every week are going to continue to pop up. You're going to continue to have little issues and reports, and this guy's not happy, and that guy's not happy. Plus, you just need to start playing better football because the tough stretch of your schedule is coming, and right now you stink.
I would
we need Fred on this show.
I would say this about what Fred's saying. I agree wholeheartedly, but I would also add this. When was the last time we were willing to give the Patriots style points in a game?
willing to give.
Because that's what we were doing, right? Style points, even if you lose.
Well, no, I would go more with moral victory.
Oh, yeah.
Moral victory, style, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah. I'm not into moral victory.
Giving them credit in a loss.
I will give them credit if they play well, but I'm not into like necessarily the moral victory.
Well, we kind of gave them a moral loss against the Raiders.
Whatever you call it. I mean, if you're going to give them some credit, even in a loss, it's the same thing.
Didn't we give them a moral loss?
Yeah, because they played so badly.
Right. So if they play well and lose tonight, you can't get a moral victory? That's not fair. But, you can only get moral losses?
But what are you saying about you if you don't have the talent? You played as well as you can play, and you
lost. I'm saying now I'll fall back on, I'm going to get better. I'm going to be better later
in
the year.
We're building.
We're having a lot of changes on the offensive line.
We came out there, we competed. Paul, it's been a very long time for this team and this franchise that prior to a game, we have said, you know what? If as long as they go out and they look like they are into it and they're competing tonight, as long as they compete, we'll take it.
Well, this is a different year. We've said that. Bury the history.
I'm just saying it's worth mentioning. That's worth mentioning, though.
Yes.
But I think it relates to this. Don't grade this team just based on the legacy and based on the reputation in terms of what you're looking at in tonight's game. Right.
But I think everybody has realized that when we have stories that say sooner rather than later, Tom Brady's not going to be your quarterback. That former rookie, Jimmy Garoppolo, who I thought was still a rookie, ESPN needs to update me on that. I mean, when was the last time we talked about that? This is a whole new world, as they say, that we're living through, right? This is a start of some sort of transition. This is a could be the transition to you not being a good football team for the here and now, but it's also the start of the transition towards Tom Brady not being your quarterback, Tom Brady being unhappy, Tom Brady thinking of playing elsewhere, all of that. So this is a whole new world. This is not your daddy's Patriots. This is not the Pink Hat Patriots.
And that just takes us back full circle to where we started this whole thing. That's why I don't think you can use the past as a legitimate barometer, because all of these things are unprecedented.
With the 3-point underdog for the Patriots tonight at home as it stands right now, I am told that is the largest spread against the Patriots in Foxborough with Brady since 2001 against the Rams in the old stadium. That was the last time they've had a spread this large against them at home.
Yeah, I know there's only been a couple of times they've been home favorites since then. I think 05 there was one against Indy.
Indy?
And then 49ers? Last year they were underdogs against Denver.
Both, yeah, three times in the last decade, I believe, and the two times you just referenced them, both against Peyton Manning. Yeah, so this would be the third time in a decade.
Unbelievable.
That's where this team is at, 855-PATS-500.
That speaks to the dominance.
But we're seeing that. Unfortunately, the other side of it, you're seeing, you know, when we saw last week Tom Brady, you know, down 27 for just the second time in his career or whatever it was.
That astounded me.
You're going to start to see more of those. And unfortunately, those are the new notes. Those are the new little SID notes that are not the, you know, they've won X number of games and they've never lost this and blah, blah, blah. It's going a different direction.
Eric's in Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Eric.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, listen, you know, tonight, man, we just got to forget about all the stupid hype with Dobson, you know, Mankins going, Tompkins being cut. We need to get back to basics, running game, passing game. We just got to put, it on the line tonight and just, you know, tear the Bengals up, period.
Do you think the team has the horses to do that?
I hope we do. I really hope we do. I mean, we got to see some old school magic from Brady tonight. He's got to get that passing game together, and the O-line's going to protect him. They'll give him time to hang back in the pocket and just, you know, get some yards for us tonight, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree, and the thing that I, now to sort of touch back on that story that came out, you know, the Brady being, patience, I think is the word, or, you know, we're going through a Yeah, it's easy for you to say in the sideline. You're not the one who's taking rib shots from Khalil Mack and Justin Tuck.
Well, you're also,
these guys can't block.
You're also not the guy that is going to have his career ending in the next, you know,
right,
3 or 4 years by something other than your own choice.
Right. You know, I'd like to play for a long time, but if my rib goes through my spine, then I'm not going to play.
Right, right. Yeah, no, he just needs the other one's got to protect him tonight. You know what I mean? It's the only way we're going to get out of this hole is to start putting up some passing yard numbers, get the running game going, and the fans have just got to get behind the Patriots tonight. I mean, the fans are got to get behind them, and we got to put up some good numbers tonight. I mean, it's now or never.
I actually agree.
I know, and we're only into the you know, fourth, fifth game here, but still, we just, it's time to light it up, you know?
I actually agree with you on that, and I know, you know, the players have always said, well, if we give them something to cheer for at Gillette Stadium, I think this has come the other way where they could use a little help from
they
you.
They could use some help.
You know,
it's been a long
they're struggling.
Time. It's been a long time since they needed you.
How about
to
you
give them
cheer
a boost
and give them a little emotional boost, yeah, and then that gives you more to cheer about?
Let's hope the security guards don't tell them to sit down. Let's just hope that's not
right,
the case.
Relax.
I know. It's just it's been
save it for the hub.
It's been a problem here. That's all I know.
Save it for the hub.
Andy, I have seen it firsthand as a fan sitting in the stands.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's all
you
I should
have been sitting. You shouldn't stand in people's way. But I do think
there's just something against cheering in this building. That's all. The way, by the way, the way it's written in that story, you reference it. One team source told ESPN that a conservative approach is necessary and said everyone needs to be patient to allow the team and the staff to get on the same page.
Sounds like something said by somebody who wasn't getting hit.
Yeah. Why do I see? I don't understand why a conservative approach is necessary. Like, says who? Why?
Well, I mean, I think woven within that story is a little bit of what fans have been asking for. If the offense is too hard for these guys at receiver to pick up, then dumb it down. And I think there is sort of an underlying theme of that in the offense.
Yep.
But I don't know what that has to do with the offensive line. Brady would like to keep it simple, I believe, on the offensive line. Brady would like them to block the guys with the other color on. Very simple. However you do it your own way, but block those guys and keep them from hurting me.
Yeah, and if you're going to continue not only with your system itself that you put in place, but the game plan element of your offense, it's always game plan. We get that you change the game plan, but maybe they're going a little bit too dramatically different from week to week, and it's making it a little bit harder mentally. And I agree with Andy's larger point. If the system is that complicated that only Brady can really operate it in it, then it needs to be dumbed down a little bit.
And they've been very consistent. Three and out.
Do you believe that's true? Do you believe it's so difficult that only Brady can operate it?
I don't believe it's
that
true.
I don't buy it either.
But
I don't.
But stop telling us that. Stop. I mean, even something in that story references a complex system.
Yes. Yes, so, it does.
And the other example of that would be everybody wants to jump right on the board of Garoppolo of how successful, you know, he moved the ball down the field.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know the defense doesn't count, but he was running Patriots plays, right? And, like, the ball wasn't just hitting the ground on miscommunications. I don't think the defense was trying to stop them, but when a guy ran a route, he threw it to where the route went, right?
Yeah.
So there's some aspect of the Patriots' offense was being run.
As it says in that story, Paul, to finish that sentence, Brady's confidence of performance, sources told ESPN, the circumstances have affected Brady's confidence and performance, and the Patriots have had little success providing talent needed to execute the team's previous approach, a complex scheme that can change dramatically on a weekly basis.
Right.
Whereas that sounds like a defense of the next paragraph in this story, which is the team's draft history is also under fire. The Patriots have used 11 draft picks on receivers since 2002, and only two, Deion Branch and former college quarterback Julian Edelman, have made any impact. The signing of Danny Amendola as a slot receiver replacement for Wes Welker has proven to be a failure, too. So, if it's so complex, is it that it's so complex, or is it the draft picks haven't been good, and the excuse is that things are too complex for them?
Yeah, well, and I think part of that, part of this too, it, you know, we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. Part of this too is about Brady and, you know, his willingness maybe to get other people involved and to trust other people. And he says that he doesn't do that. When he doesn't have that trust, he's not going to throw it to him. So, well, sometimes you got to make some mistakes and sometimes you got to fight through the mistakes for the greater good. And when we're talking about being a better offense 6, 7, 8 weeks from now, that's not going to happen if we continue to have Aaron Dobson inactive.
Let's go
or not throw the ball to these guys.
Let's go to Chris in Long Island. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
All right. I'm a big New England fan, and I'm from Long Island, New York. So, you know how that plays out. And I just want to get something out of the way here. This popped up in my ESPN app today. It's a tension, you know, on Brady's future over in New England. And is it a little too early to be throwing out statements like this, like Brady looking at other teams? I know you guys were speaking on it briefly a few minutes ago. You didn't go in depth on it. But the future, you know, of Garoppolo with the organization, what's your guys' professional standpoint on where you think Brady will end up or if he'll ever even leave the organization, you know?
Where I stand on it is that I believe he could leave, and it's a very real possibility that he is somewhere else as his career ends. That's my take. I don't know what you guys think.
I've sort of thought all along that he'll end up somewhere else. I didn't think we were anywhere close to it. I didn't think we were anywhere close to it. Now I kind of do think we're.
Yeah, you guys mocked me when I said October 2015.
You mocked yourself.
I know. But now apparently I'm going to be like months late because
they're going to
trade me.
Do you think there's any chance that we're looking at even sooner than that?
Oh, I see. People
like
seem
a trade
to,
deadline deal?
Oh, yeah. No.
I don't think
people
that's
seem to be
happen.
Insinuating that next spring he could be traded.
I don't disagree with that.
Take the $18 million acceleration, which is what I believe is reported, and move on. I think that would be stunning.
I can't believe that we're here. I can't believe we're, like, usually this is a PFW in progress.
Yeah.
Sort of, mid-May kind of, we got nothing else to talk about. Let's see if, you know, I can't believe we're here.
Well, Paul, I mean, as
can
I
you believe that it,
we're legitimately having a yeah. conversation that it's a possibility.
Well, no, you know what? It's not far-fetched.
No, I'm saying it's a yeah. legitimate, it's not a talk radio
you never,
topic.
You never see
it's
the
legit.
End coming, and when it happens, it's typically ugly.
Are we going to be talking about, the way the season is going right now, I don't want to be like doom and gloom and it's over.
Sure.
But. Could we be talking about the, quote, showcasing of Brady, like late November, early December?
Well, I hope not.
You're trying to pump up his value and, you know, show people that he's not done so when you trade him after the season?
I really hope
that. Can you imagine that? How far?
No.
Last year,
I can't imagine it.
You were going to Denver thinking you had a legitimate shot to go back to another Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl. And less than a year later, suddenly the conversation's going to be about trading Brady in the future and the this and the, it's amazing.
The number for you to get involved on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. If you want to send an email, do that at webradio@patriots.com. On Twitter, social media, make sure you are using the hashtag PPGS for the Patriots pregame social here on patriots.com. Dunkin' Donuts new dark roast coffee is here. Get a medium hot dark roast coffee for 99 cents from September 30th through November 2nd. America runs on Dunkin', plus applicable tax. Participation may vary. It's a limited time offer. More coming up here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Here's what the Patriots players have been saying this week about their opponent, the Cincinnati Bengals.
They have a very good front. It's hard to just zero in on one guy. They're all disruptive. So they have good balance across the front, and they have a lot of pressure schemes.
Very well-rounded football team, for sure. They play a sound defense. They got many great players in the secondary, on the line, and linebackers. So we got to go out there. We got to be ready. We got to execute.
You got a great group there. They've been playing well. A lot of talent. Big guys up front. Smart linebackers playing good ball.
Our linebackers run well. They have real good team speed. Secondary tackle as well. So all those are issues.
They're very talented all across the board. Every position, running back, tight end, and the receiver, and then you got Dalton, who operates everything, who runs that offense, and he's been doing well.
It's a team that do what they do. You know, they say the best. They, you know, when they can run the football, that's when their team is its best. And what explosive, you know, guys that they have, you know, from the receivers and the backs, and the tight end there. I mean, they have guys everywhere that can make plays.
Playing against a team like this that really challenges us. You know, they got one of the best defenses in the league. They got, you know, coach today had 6 number one draft picks in the secondary alone. So we got our work cut out for us this week. This is a team that's, you know, gave us all we could handle last year.
Right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
When Aaron Dobson is inactive for the Oakland game and then again on Monday night, I started asking questions like everybody did. Why is he being sat? Things like that. He's not showing up on the injury report. And that was the explanation that I got last night, that Aaron Dobson had mouthed off to Josh McDaniels before the Oakland game.
Dobson was deactivated last week. Was that a football decision or was that disciplinary?
Football.
And has he progressed to the point that you're ready to put him back in the lineup?
We'll do what we think's best for the game, just like we always do.
With such a thin receiver core, how important is that for him to get back to the point where you're comfortable putting him in the game?
Well, we're going to make the best decisions that we can make every week, try to activate the players that we think give us the best chance to win. Same thing we do on every game. This game's no different than that.
Was there an incident between Aaron Dobson and Josh McDaniels?
No, and I'll have a comment on that later.
From Bill Belichick, in my year and a half with Aaron Dobson, he has always been respectful to me and the rest of the coaching staff. He has never once been argumentative or confrontational. The suggestion and reporting that his playing time was in any way the result of a loud disagreement with a coach is completely false.
I'm glad he said what he said.
and I'm just ready to just move on and be focused on Cincinnati.
What is your relationship with Josh like?
We're actually have a really great relationship, to tell you the truth. So this is a rumor, so I mean, I had no reason to feel awkward in any way with my coaches or anything. So I mean, I really didn't realize the story got so big until maybe after practice yesterday.
We await the inactives for the Patriots tonight. Will Aaron Dobson be active? Will he be inactive? We will wait and see.
Rumor has it.
Have to see what happens. What do you think? You think he plays tonight?
Yes.
I think after this week and all that stuff that happened, I almost think that they might make a point to just make him active and play him.
Well, I was actually wondering, a lot of people have wondering when Amendola is going to be inactive. I didn't know if maybe this is the week he would be inactive because, you know, we don't talk about injuries around here. And all of a sudden you want to start making excuses? We'll make excuses for why you're inactive as a disciplinary thing. But with Tompkins cut, I'm not sure Amendola will be inactive. But, yeah, I think Dobson will be active. I would hope they're planning on throwing the football. I don't know. They want Brady to be more patient. He doesn't need receivers if he's going to be patient.
I think he should be active. I didn't like when he's been inactive, and I hope he's active. That's how I feel about Aaron Dobson. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, Andy.
Didn't like when he was inactive. I hope he's active. That's how I feel.
You mentioned it earlier. Like, it would be worse if it's worse now that there was no disciplinary action. Like, it's worse that he's just a second-year guy, second-round pick, who's apparently not good enough to make it onto the field, which I don't think is the case. I think part of the reason why, you know, Aaron Dobson is inactive is because there's not a willingness to make Amendola or LaFell inactive because they were free agent signings. And they were guys that, you know, the GM / head coach made as big offseason maneuvers and now, acquisitions. So I think,
wouldn't that be really disappointing to learn, though?
If it could be confirmed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that there's like politics at play? Yes, absolutely. That would be very disappointing.
But aren't there going to be politics at play with Amendola?
There's always politics at play.
I don't know about LaFell, but with Amendola,
with every team,
he was your guy. You went and targeted him. You signed him to a $30 million contract. As I said, if you're making him inactive, you're almost to the point where you're just done with him, right? And then,
no, I get that, but you got to make your choices based on who's giving you more in a game plan.
I agree.
You know, who's going to give you more on the field?
And that's why
I don't understand why they can't all be active in the first place. I don't know why it has to be a receiver.
Right. Three last week. What was that all about? You know, to have the five running backs active and only three receivers active. That will change, I hope, this week. I'm guessing it will. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with the inactives.
But we also need to keep in mind, he did miss nearly the entire summer coming back from that foot issue. And, you know, this could be sort of part of the process. Both health-related and conditioning and football conditioning and ready to play and all that. I mean, I think that could be a factor here.
Yeah, and I definitely thought that could be a factor week one. Now I'm a little bit less on the board of that being a factor. Here we are week five and he's still not ready. I mean, he was on the field in the preseason. But I'm at a loss. And you know, you talked about Beadle. You brought up the five running backs as opposed to the three wide receivers. And I wonder, do they just want to change approach altogether, Andy, and maybe go with the two backfield looks, you know, with James White being part of that? We saw some of that in the preseason with some success. Maybe there's some of those split back looks with Vereen and White or even Ridley in one of those two that they want to try to maybe run more often out of A, and then B, throw off of those because they don't have the receiving threats that are making plays. Maybe they can get Vereen and White actively involved in the passing game.
What about just coming out with, you know, I don't know, three receivers, whatever you want to do, keep them on the field for six plays.
And they don't do that a lot.
No.
They've gone away from three receiver looks.
But I'm not even fixating on three receivers. I don't really care what the – I almost
Wham block. Wham block.
I don't even care what the personnel group is. How about you just put a personnel group out there.
Stick with it.
Run a play, run back to the huddle, call a different play, and do it again.
Guys, we do have the inactives list. It has come out. I want to remind you that this week's injury report is brought to you by Guardian Life Insurance. Injuries aren't just a spectator sport. They can happen on or off the field, and they can happen to you. Good financial health begins with the benefits offered at your workplace. Make the defensive play. Look for Guardian Life Insurance to protect you and your family this enrollment season. The Patriots list is out, and here they are. Nate Ebner, Cameron Fleming, Josh Klein, Dante Hightower, James White.
No two-back sets, Paul.
Zach Moore, and Malcolm Butler. Dante Hightower, an inactive player, he was listed as questionable coming into this game, listed with a knee. He was limited in practice all week. Dante Hightower is out of this game.
What?
Okay, I confused Hightower with someone else. Did someone got added on Friday, did they not?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So yeah,
the Hightower thing is Andy's injury when he tore his ACL during the Chiefs game.
Don't say that.
That's what you said.
Yeah, a little more serious than you and Fred wanted to make it out to be, though.
No, I simply said he didn't tear his ACL.
Yes, he's inactive. I find the most curious one, Malcolm Butler.
If we bench Logan Ryan, who's playing corner?
Arrington.
Oh, so that'll work.
Well,
I just don't really...
Malcolm Butler didn't work last week.
I don't really understand the ascension and descension, if that's a word, of all these stupid players. I don't understand how you can be three straight weeks the starting, and then you stink, and then you know you're my first guy off the bench to replace Ryan, and then you're inactive. It sort of gets back to what I just said. How about we just stick with some guys and decide these are our guys and play them?
But Andy, they can't even stick with five offensive linemen and decide they're going to play them. And you want them to do positions that are more traditionally interchangeable?
I just don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so much for my two-back looks, by the way.
And all the receivers are active.
Which I do think is a move in the right direction. Now, Bolden would have been the guy I had inactive, but I think that's a move in the right direction. Get Dobson out there. See if he can make some plays. Get the kid, you know, get him in more actively as I bang into the microphone. Get him more actively involved in the offense. You know, I wouldn't even mind. I don't necessarily need something like a force-feeding early in the game, but take a shot to him at some point early in the game and see if we can get a play and just let the tension off of this. It feels like this offense is working with unbelievable pressure on it and they're all running around with weights on their shoulders. Make a play and let everybody exhale.
All right, 855.
You should probably read the Bengals one since you stepped on me. I used to read the inactives. Now
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's what
go
you
ahead,
do.
A lot of significant names, I would assume.
It gets sponsored, and then all of a sudden Mark takes over the role of reading the inactives.
Well, when it's sponsored, they need a professional to make sure everything gets read nice
and good
clean.
Point, Andy.
Not a good point. I'm surprised you turned your mic on for that read. The Bengals inactives. Marvin Jones, the receiver. Vontaze Burfict, the linebacker. That's a key loss for them, especially if the Patriots want to run the football. Brandon Thompson. Rex Burkhead, Will Sweet Swing Clark, Kevin Zietler, and Chris Lewis Harris.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Some very significant inactives for them. Marvin Jones and Burfict are two guys they thought they had a chance to get back this week. Jones re-aggravated, I guess he turned an ankle in his first practice back, so they didn't think he would be able to make it. Burfict was coming off a concussion, and they thought that he was going to be able to play coming out of the bye, and he wasn't able to do it.
I am a bleeping moron.
All right, so now we have the inactives
for
this game.
The guy who would
game.
Play when Ryan was benched would be Alfonso Dennert.
Because
Dennert is active.
I forgot that Dennert was playing.
Bleeping morons across the board.
Yeah, I forgot Dennert was playing. Yeah, we did drop the ball on that. Good.
Logan Ryan.
Someone call us out on that?
No.
Because rightly so.
I called myself out when I just realized it. Yeah. And, you know, Logan Ryan won't get benched because he won't be on the field because
right.
Alfonso Dennert will be.
Let's get to the keys to tonight's game.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
Andy, is everything okay with you?
Do you move these things around? Because I was ready to go with keys. I came in like raring to go. And
yeah, well, you know, Paul had to do his radio thing, and the time it lined up, we wanted to get some calls early. So
okay.
we want to get to the keys now. We're in our second segment. I feel like things are going
pretty
well.
Have they expired, Andy? Do your keys have an expiration date?
Exactly. Did you forget
Since
them?
You were all jacked up to do it right off the top,
go ahead.
I will give you the floor, and I will let you go first.
Well, I will start with the same one we always start with, regardless of which one of us starts it. Pass protection, offensive line. And it's not just the exterior this week with Dunlap and Gilberry. It's also the interior. And I know everybody says, oh, Geno Atkins. Well, you know what? I'll take an 80% Geno Atkins against this offensive line. Rookie center Brian Stork. I don't know who playing right guard because Cameron Fleming's obviously not playing. So you're going to have some more changes on the interior there. You still got the same guys struggling on the outside. And you know, Brady, he should show some patience back there when he drops back and people put a shoulder into his gut. But the offensive line is the key to this game.
Yeah, a good one always until we see otherwise, as Fred likes to say. I'm going to go on defense here. The key to tonight's game is they got to do a better job stopping the run. Cincinnati's a team that wants to run the football. They're taking the ball intentionally out of Andy Dalton's hands. He is not a volume thrower, and they're trying to put him in more comfortable situations. And so far it's worked, even though the numbers haven't been outstanding. And I think the Patriots are going to need to get two different running backs tonight with two entirely different styles in Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill. And they need to do a much better job. The two games that they lost, they got absolutely decimated on the run. 200 yards. They need to do a better job and get Cincinnati out of its comfort zone.
Now, you approach that like a layman would, and I can see that. Now, I'm going to tell you how Bill Belichick would look at this.
Please enlighten us, Andy.
Tackling. Hey, I think they need to tackle.
Write this down. Write this down.
Tackling. They sucked tackling last week. I think they need to actually tackle this week.
Andy, write this down. Red area. Write that one down. Huge key.
Special
to the
teams.
Game tonight. Huge keys to the game. Tackling, red area, all good thing. Third down, all.
I have
good.
My mid-game headache already, and we're only mid-show.
Yeah, it's only 7:05. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Let's go back to the phones, get some of your keys to tonight's game, and we go to Dave in Philadelphia. Good evening, Dave.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up?
One of the keys to tonight's game is straight up, we're just going to have to go three wide receivers, one tight end sets. We're going to have a back in the backfield. And Tom's going to actually have to throw the ball to somebody. Someone's going to have to get open.
It's like a real football game.
I like how you said he's actually going to have to throw the ball to somebody.
Like, he's going to have to throw it to someone other than Edelman or Gronkowski. You know, there's other players on the team, and I know they're not getting open, but he's going to have to try. And on the defensive side, man coverage, press A.J. Green. Press him. I want to see Darrell Reeves get a holding call at some point because that's how much he's beating them up. Okay? Like, I want to see that.
That was a good call because, you know what, we didn't talk about that in our keys, but that was certainly one of the things we've talked about this week is it's time for Revis Island. It's time for A.J. Green. We know they did it with Aqib Talib. This is certainly one of those guys that they matched up Aqib Talib with. Well, now you have the better version of Aqib Talib. Match him up.
And when you're talking about A.J. Green, I mean, he really is – the passing game. He is the threat in the passing game for the Bengals.
He is where Andy Dalton looks first, then he checks maybe somebody else, looks back to A.J. Green third. Like, every other read is basically what's A.J. Green doing for Andy Dalton.
You know, I think Mohamed Sanu is a good player, right? I mean, he's an okay guy.
Throws a good ball.
Yeah, he's okay guy to have on your team if you're trying to get the ball to him. But really, when we're talking about this team and the real threat here, it's A.J. Green. And I think the part about having to, you know, Darrell Revis come out and Revis Island make its return tonight. That's how I want to see them play it. That's how I'd like to see them play him.
One thing,
and this is why you got this guy.
Yeah. Well, in relation, I'm glad you said it like that. In relation to that, no roster moves obviously this week regarding Timms or Browner. Are you surprised, disappointed that maybe Browner wasn't activated and thrown into the fire?
I'm not disappointed because I am not a Brandon Browner guy after what we saw in the preseason.
I am not a Brandon Browner guy based on the preseason, but I'm also disappointed because to me, yeah, you brought a guy in to be a key part of your defense, kind of like we talked about on offense. Get him out there. Begin the process of now, I'm not saying I expect him to go play 60 snaps and wire to wire, but I'd like the process to begin, so get him out there.
Well, they had all week in practice to take a look at him, and maybe there was a little bit of an evaluation there in terms of you can condition all you want, as Bill Belichick talked about this week. You can do all the wind sprints you want.
He'll have a comment on that later.
But until you're out there actually hitting guys and you're back into your routine of doing it, maybe he's not ready to go in a game yet. Like, I would not rule that out, would you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Get ready.
He hasn't played football in a month.
I'm not stunned.
Get ready.
I'm a little disappointed for the reasons Andy said. You know, maybe he's just not ready. I mean, that could well be true, but it's disappointing that he's not. And to me,
he can't cover.
Well, that, I think, is a longer-term issue.
That would be a real consideration, too.
But that, to me, is a part of it, because I think, like Andy started to say, if they felt like he was going to be a big part of this secondary, don't you think he'd be active tonight, even if they didn't think he was quite ready?
I had to be without you for four games.
I didn't have to be five.
The fifth. Right?
Correct.
And I made this, like, big roster move, which I think most people probably assumed when they made a roster move for Kenbrell Tompkins to be cut, that one of the two guys coming off suspension would be involved, not that we need another guy to cover kicks and bring up Jagarrad Davis at linebacker.
But you also didn't know about Hightower.
Right.
So maybe they just need a linebacker in.
Yeah,
maybe Jagarrad Davis is going to play linebacker tonight.
He probably will.
It didn't go well when Deontay Skinner did.
No, it didn't.
Did not. Let's go to Mike at Palm Beach. Hey, Mike.
Hello?
Michael,
hey, Mike.
Go ahead.
Yes. Hey, my question is why aren't we using the weapons that we actually have? Like, James White is inactive. We got Brian Timms inactive. We're only targeting Edelman and Gronk. Like, we need to use the weapons we actually do have to win the game.
Well, I'm not sure I would declare James White a weapon yet.
I wouldn't declare either guy.
And Timms isn't even on the roster yet, but Timms coming off a suspension, never played really with Tom Brady in the summer. I'm not really ready to anoint either of those two guys weapons. To me, the guys are like Aaron Dobson. Why have you not used that weapon?
Yeah. And I understand that. I don't understand why they're not using Dobson. I don't understand why they're not using a lot of people. Why I said James White is because of his speed. And I've seen him in the preseason, and I've seen Brian Timms in the preseason, and they look pretty good. Looks better than everybody else that's out on the field. LaFell did good on the Monday night, but that was pretty much it.
Well, I would say that Brian Timms, his stuff in the preseason came in garbage time.
Yeah, I mean, garbage time. You know, Andy made a point late last week that we were trying to even remember if he even has caught a pass from Tom Brady in practice.
Talking about practice.
Not a game, mind you.
We know he didn't do it in a game, but I can't even really recall him catching any passes in practice from Brady.
All I remember is that day I asked him about, you know, is it a little weird that you were in a huddle with Tom Brady, and he said, yeah. He had to, like, pinch himself, basically, and say, listen, you know, he's going to expect you to know the play if he calls it.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. The email for you is
Thing we had that professional reading that.
Webradio at Patriots.com.
I want to watch you two fight before the season.
Brad, you know what? Andy's in a corner over there, so you know what? It could get very ugly. Could get ugly quick. I got the walls to my advantage in that corner. Brad from Maine writes in, hey, guys, I am so ready to get this game underway and hopefully come away with a win. I am sick and tired of listening to all this media garbage. Whether any of it is true or not, I just don't want to hear about it. Andy put it best when comparing the team to the Jet Circus. I don't want our team to even be in the same sentence as the Jets. Everyone is panicking.
But me.
And he writes, that just goes to show how spoiled some of our fans are. Let's get this turned around and move the bleep on.
But Brad made. But even in that email, Brad, I mean, you're saying, even if it's true. Well, if it's true, then it's not dramatic. It's not, you know, uncalled for. You know, what are we supposed to do? How do we know this is not true? How do you know? You got to comment on what you're hearing. You know, the Patriots said that the Aaron Dobson suspension wasn't about discipline, right? It wasn't. I shouldn't say the suspension. There was no suspension. They said there was no discipline action with Aaron Dobson. It was football. We believed it, right? They told us. So they're telling us other stuff that we don't like, and we're not believing that. I mean, what are you going to believe?
Along those lines, Paul, our next emailer writes in, hey, guys, we've all heard the reports and statements regarding the Dobson-McDaniels situation. What I'm interested in knowing is, what do you guys, Andy, Paul, and Beadle, believe in your heart of hearts? Was the incident, did it happen, and is that why he was inactive the last two games? Secondly, do you believe in your heart of hearts that Brady isn't going to get back to being Brady this season? Thanks for the killer show, Chris in SoCal. Who do you believe on the situation? I don't know that there's enough there to believe one way or the other.
I don't believe Aaron Dobson got into a fight with Josh McDaniels.
I don't either.
It didn't make sense to me initially.
But I think something may have
happened. Because I think Aaron Dobson is one of the least vocal guys that I've observed. If you told me a lot of other guys, maybe I'd buy it. It doesn't seem like that's him. He's a pretty quiet, soft-spoken, it just didn't feel right when the report came.
Paul, we mentioned it.
I agree with that about Dobson, by the way.
I think you're in the other room, Paul, when we mentioned this. Is there a shot that the report itself wasn't wrong, but the report got the wrong player?
It was Tompkins?
And that it was Tompkins.
I don't rule anything out of, especially when we're talking about things that I have not heard anybody say anything, I don't know anything about, I don't rule it out. I don't think that that's the case either. There were a lot of things yesterday afternoon on Twitter from the various writers that were saying that Tompkins was told it was a numbers game and what that kind of stuff. Now, maybe they're going out of their way to say right away, why are we releasing this guy? You know, they want to get it out so no one talks about any potential discipline with him. I think it might have been the Dobson thing might have been one of those deals where maybe there was some thought on the part of somebody that he was being disciplined, and in the Patriot, you know, Belichick said, well, he wasn't being disciplined. That's not why he wasn't playing, and maybe no one's really lying, but it turned out to be something wasn't entirely right.
Maybe the player was upset with not being in the game, but he never did mouth off or get into a fight with the offensive coordinator.
Right, and he asked, you know, why he wasn't playing or something, and they sat him, and he thinks that's why he's not playing.
But he was actually just sat down for football reasons.
And if we're going to continue with the I have absolutely no idea what's going on, maybe Cambrell Tompkins is the guy that told the Boston Globe. Yeah, Dobson's not playing because he mouthed off to the coach.
Also a valid theory.
Who knows? I mean, I just...
So he was the rat.
Right. Just to be clear.
We hadn't broached that thing.
But because Andy, is
we
anything
We
had
broached,
out?
Maybe he was the guy who fought, and it was a misnaming of the guy.
He may have been the rat.
But is anything out? Like, how can you rule anything out? Now, I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm not saying...
Also just, you know, I don't know Bill agrees Tompkins. With me, and he was done with Cambrell Tompkins, like I was this offseason.
I'm not...
Isn't that possible?
I like Dobson more than Tompkins. I don't think Tompkins is that good. But that being said, this is a team that's starving for wide receivers, and they're releasing them. Guys that caught,
yeah, but
whatever,
they're starving
30 or 40
for good
balls
receivers.
Last year. But he
Brandon
doesn't...
Lloyd caught balls here and played. He sucked, even though apparently he made some otherworldly catch today.
I mean, not the one that we're
not
talking
the one
about?
We saw. Everybody's raving about some other catch. And Rich Eisen said, does he catch any other kind other than highlight reel? And I said, yeah, the ones where he trips.
No, he's actually the...
he sucks.
He's the one that... Yeah, all the catches he makes are
like
amazing.
There. He sucks.
I hate...
Everybody.
Hate Brandon Lloyd.
Really?
Hate.
Hate him. That's strong.
Strong word? Appropriate.
Mike and Sodak writes in, everybody is ready to burn down the stadium. Let's be realistic. The team has lost two games. If the team had had two bad seasons, it would still be better than the majority of the NFL. This may take some time to fix. Meantime, on the chat, people are suggesting we bring back Charlie Weiss or even replace McDaniels with Schiano. Hold on.
Isn't Schiano a defensive coach?
I thought he was an offensive guy.
Oh, maybe he is.
I don't know.
He then writes, no one wants Bill to be the GM anymore, but they also have no replacements either. I have hope, even if they lose this season, we could use a high draft pick to trade down with. Not defeated. Mike in South Dakota.
And you know what? Mike is a... That's fine. I mean, I think what Mike is saying there is we got it pretty good. And,
right.
If you take it that way, that's fine. I mean, I'm a little bit more emotional as a fan, and I get upset when my team loses, but that's a very balanced look at it. I'm not saying they're not playing badly right now.
Well,
it's a real-life
take.
Yeah. If it's,
in the big picture, at the end of the day, it's a football game.
And there's nothing wrong. You know, I'm not saying they're not playing bad. What I'm saying is, even if we have a bad season, it's not the end of the world. We've had 15 consecutive really good seasons.
Which, of course, but here in
whatever
the,
many
here,
it is at this point.
Here in the sports world, we get upset over every little thing. What
can I add something in here real quick?
Add away.
Go ahead.
If we're going to go through this whole, you know, when are they trading Brady and we're moving on and he's not going to finish his career here.
I think you finally got me sick, by the way.
Well, I don't feel good either. You know, obviously the Colts did it in one fell swoop. Polian, Manning, they just cleaned house, right? I'm not saying.
I'm just saying.
What are you going for, a tank job?
No, he's saying. He's saying if we're going to make a transition out
if
of
If I'm Robert
era.
Kraft, maybe I let Bill trade Tom Brady. And then I go, Bill, oh, by the way, clean your poop out and get out. Clean you, put all your stuff in a box.
You know that big palace I just built you?
Somebody else is going to be living in it.
Reboot. Time for a reboot, possibly. We have a little bit less than an hour to go here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Dunkin' Donuts' new dark roast coffee is here. Get a medium hot dark roast coffee for 99 cents. Right now through November 2nd, America runs on Dunkin' plus applicable tax. America runs on Dunkin' plus Andy, I'm going to smack you. America runs on Dunkin' plus applicable tax. Participation may vary.
Applicable.
It's a limited time offer. A little bit less than
November
an hour
second,
to go
right?
Here on the program. We're taking your calls at 855-PATS-500. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Hashtag PPGS is what you want to be using on social media sites. And most importantly, that would be on Twitter. We're going to go behind enemy lines later in the show today with Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com. He'll be joining us at 8 p.m. Eastern to talk about his team getting ready for this game tonight. It's Sunday Night Football live from Gillette. We're back with more right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to join today's show? Call the guys on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, some guy named Andy Hart.
Just barfed up a lung.
Yeah, you're right over there. Stop smoking.
I wish.
We're going to get back to the phones at 855-PATS-500. But before we do that, it's time to, again, we don't have six games to pick, but we do have a couple games to pick. It's time for the Sunday six-pack.
Ah, nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
This isn't really fair. We got off to a horrific start, and we don't really have a chance to,
we don't have games
dig
to
out of
up.
The hole.
Yeah, you guys are pretty
We're going to be in a hole forever. We're only picking one or two games a week.
All I could tell you is saying that I'm ice cold is an insult to ice.
Ooh. Mark, the only one that won last week.
I did win.
One game season, as they say.
Pick KC.
Mark 1-0. Andy and Paul incorrect at 0-1. The standings now. Mark in first place at 6-14.
Yeah!
Andy 5-15. Paul in the cellar 4-16.
That's because I keep picking the Patriots every week.
Cincinnati at New England, the line I went with.
After 4 weeks, you have four wins.
You have five, idiot. Shut up.
Yeah, I'm much better, though.
The line I'm sticking with from this morning, Cincinnati by 2.5.
Michael Vick went 1-11, by the way, when he went in.
Cincinnati for me.
That's it? That's
thanks for the analysis. Pops.
What is the number?
2.5.
Amazing how the line has moved. And I got to agree with Beadle. I feel this is a game that the Bengals can only lose if they turn the ball over multiple times. And they haven't done that this year. And I'm going off of what I've seen this year, not in the previous years. And I'll take Cincinnati tonight.
I'm
going
to pull a Mark Bertrand. Just try to win the picks contest. I'm going to go the other way and take the Patriots. Even though I think the Bengals are going to win.
But they could win by a point, and you still
that's
win.
Right. And by default, the only other game. Seattle at Washington. Seattle by 7.5.
I'll take Seattle to win and cover. I know they're coming across the country. Doesn't matter. They're going to kill them.
I like the defending world champions in that one.
I'm not going to make an effort to try to win the picks contest. I'm going to take Seattle in an effort to try to get, you know, my long way back to respectability.
All I know, Paul, is I can guarantee that after 5 weeks, I'll have five wins. Can you make that same guarantee?
No.
And that's it for the abbreviated
section. Yeah, the abbreviated, the two picks this week in the Sunday six-pack.
We'll get back soon.
Next week, there will be a full six-pack. I won't be here, but I will submit my picks.
Why are you not going to be here?
I'll be absent next week.
Jesus.
A day off.
Do we have a fill-in host, Paul, or are we just flying?
You got a fill-in host?
Solo.
I don't yet. I did it last year.
Nope.
No, we had.
You don't want that.
Sudikoff was
yeah.
I think I did one game,
Scott Sudikoff.
Scott Sudikoff.
We could ask Cough Drop.
All right. Well, all I know is that I'm not here. I won't be here, but I will send in my picks. Got to keep that thing going. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Robin in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Robin.
I will send in my picks. He says proudly.
Robin, what's up?
Robin, you there?
Robin. Robin of the hood.
Let's try that one more time.
Robin.
Last go of it.
Robin.
Goodbye, Robin.
Must have been Robin Williams.
Let's go. Oh, that is. Oh, wow. That is
even for you, that one was
unbelievable,
terrible.
Andy. Unbelievable.
What?
Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
The line's gone dead.
That was funny, Andy.
Thank you, Olivier.
You know. Good evening, guys. You know, you guys are holding the fort together, and I appreciate it.
I'm not sure we are, because I'm not sure we've been drumming up a lot of...
Well, for one thing, we haven't talked about the Bengals at all.
Everyone is going insane. I just had an argument with my wife, and...
That's not good.
She didn't like it, because I told her we were going on to Cincinnati. No, I'm just kidding.
I thought you were going to say, I told her to get dinner ready.
No.
Get back in
I
the
said,
kitchen.
We're moving on to Cincinnati. Never mind.
Oh, I got it. I heard it.
I'm just calling to wish you a happy Sunday, and also to to mention this is going to be an interesting game, because with all of the media, the news about Brady being discontent about him, voicing his opinion and blah blah blah. So I'm really wondering if this is not a media campaign that's created by the organization or by his own organization or by whatever. To actually focus on something that's not really happening because something else is happening. Do you like this? It's kind of almost like a
wag the dog.
Obama presidency. Let's do something over there so we don't talk about something else. I'm wondering what you guys think about that.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I
know you're channeling your best inner Fred Kirsch, but I think there really are problems right now. And
I agree. Unfortunately,
I
mean, what would we not want them to talk about if we want them to talk about how bad the offense has been and how upset Brady is?
You know what? And he's right to be, to a certain extent. And you almost feel like this team has been built not for him, but for a younger quarterback. And
Garoppolo's younger.
Yeah, that's probably true. And it's
the former rookie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway. I think there are some issues right now. Now, the question is, we know there are issues on the field. We know there are issues that are leading Brady to be unhappy with the production and that. How deep do these issues go in terms of the psyche or the feeling of I'm not even involved as much as I used to be in game planning? Those we don't know.
Scary. I agree with you, Andy. Remember when we spoke on Thursday, I think, I made a statement. I say I feel that the coach lost his quarterback, and I hope it's not the case.
And that's problematic because I'll tell you what, the coach having the quarterback as his puppet slash leader is part of what held this whole thing together for so long.
I think that's a great point. I think that's one of the more underrated elements of this success.
He doesn't have Tom, then he doesn't have a team.
He has a guy that not only does what he wants him to do on the field. Yeah, I'm with you.
And you know, Scar's gone. Mankin's been traded. Other things have happened. Nothing. This is finally boiling to the top. And it's either going to give, and I hope that what we do is, if I'm the owner of an organization like this, it's time for me to interfere. And it's not about playing. It's not about delivering a product on the field. At this point, it's about emotion, and it's about human resources, human capital, and it's about having those conversations to bring everything back together.
Yeah, no, I think it's an interesting topic. And one of the things that bothered me in that story, again, is if Brady's pissy because Scar retired. Like,
there's much more than that. You know, these guys, they get up every day, they think football, they dream football, they work football, same thing with the coach. And there is no way that they get up to lose or they get up to do a bad job. No, that's their life. And Brady wants to win, so is Belichick, so is the organization. I don't know about the other players, but these two or three people, they really, really want to win. So it doesn't make sense to me that those guys don't talk or they are not involved in the organization and the preparation of the game. It makes no sense.
But I can see why it would be a crazy situation. I mean, we go again. We reference it so often, that stupid 2009 thing. But you know, he leaves Bill's office and he's going to go see. I guess it was, who was it?
Bill O'Brien.
Was it Billy? But you know, what if he says, "Okay, Bill, I'm going to go see Josh." No, you're not. Don't leave Josh alone. Josh will handle this. You go back to the locker room. What's that now?
Right.
No, I always go see Josh.
What do you mean?
No, not anymore. You know, we're cutting you out of the loop here would be problematic.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that would be problematic. Alan writes in, webradio@patriots.com, if the story is true that Belichick is leaving Brady out of the planning of the offensive game, I think it's obvious their relationship is breaking down and the end is near. I, for one, do not get Belichick's personnel moves this year and no longer believe him that we do what is best for the team. I think his ego is affecting the team in a negative way. Do you think this is possible? Al from Austin.
Is it possible? Yes. Do I believe? I don't know. I still believe him. I think he still does what he thinks is right. You can be dead wrong, though.
I agree.
I don't think he's lying and doing things that he thinks aren't in the best interest of the football team. Again, short and long term.
He feels like trading Mankins was in the best interest of the team. Correct. I think he was wrong.
Right. But he's not lying to you.
But I don't think he's lying about the reason why he did it.
And he may think moving to Jimmy Garoppolo sooner rather than later is in the best interest of the franchise.
Yeah.
He could be wrong.
That would be another one that I would fall into that category on.
I don't think he does things that he's not sabotaging anything.
No.
I don't buy that.
But I do think that
don't know why he cut Tommy Kelly.
He does have a big ego, and I do think that's part of it. But I don't think that he does things intentionally that he doesn't feel are in the best interest. He believes it. Doesn't mean he's right.
Right. He makes a lot of mistakes.
You know, the Garoppolo thing is because I believe that I can do that. I could pick a second round pick in the, quarterback in the second round because I have the roster here to compete in the short term, and Garoppolo will be my guy for the long term. I can do that. He believed that to be the case. I believe that they needed a better player to draft in the second round that could help, especially when you drafted a guy in the first round who most people felt was probably going to need some time before he could contribute regularly.
Let's
coming
be honest,
off a torn ACL.
Quarterback is one of the few spots he hasn't blown in the second round yet.
No, just in the third.
Right. Well, second. Give him a chance in the second. Pretty much every other position he's blown in the second round.
Again, I don't think he did any of those things intentionally.
No, but maybe he was thinking, geez, if I pick another receiver, he'll suck. They always do when I pick him in the second round. I'll take a quarterback.
Let's try this. Paul's in Florida. Paul's up next here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hi, Paul.
Hello?
Paul, go ahead.
Hey, ¿cómo estás?
Oh, man.
Paul, we can hear you.
¿Dónde está?
Evidently, he can't hear us.
All right, Paul.
Let's try to get him back on the line.
See if we can get you back on. Let's go to Michael in Oregon today. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Michael.
Now, I don't have the greatest memory, but I think the last time I heard something positive about Danny Amendola was when we signed him.
You're being funny because after week one of last year, there was plenty of positivity.
That's true. You're right. Buffalo.
Yes.
Buffalo. But is it wrong to think about maybe just dumping him at the end of the year? Because, I mean, he hasn't really done anything for a long time.
Oh, no. If things don't change, he's gone.
I'd be stunned if he's back.
I thought you were going to say sooner. Rather than later. Oh. I think there's
a
chance
he could be optimistic and stuff, so I don't know.
Well, maybe we're looking to trade him at the deadline.
The only way I see him coming
Brady
back
and Amendola
will not be a good thing for Patriots fans, because to me it would be Edelman got hurt and Amendola had to go in and replace Edelman, and he showed some promise. And that's the only way I think he'd be back.
I know this is an odd phrase, but who do you think is our offensive MVP for tonight?
Tonight.
Gronkowski. I'm waiting for a breakout game.
I think it's a hard to not pick either Gronk or Brady.
Besides Gronk or Brady.
Oh, now you're just making rules up on the fly. What are you, the NFL?
Yeah, I am.
I will go with Seamus Vereen.
I'll go with Aaron Dobson.
I would like to see Aaron Dobson actually do five catches for over 60 yards and actually shut up all the critics and stuff.
I would, too, because I like him. I like him. I just don't know if it's going to happen.
I got really excited when he was drafted, and then since then it hasn't been that exciting.
That is true. And that's the other thing. We haven't even had a chance for so long. He got banged up late last year. We haven't even had a chance to analyze him. It's the injury. It's the story. It's the this. How about a game where we can just go out there and watch him catch, you know, or be thrown to 6-8 times? Oh, well, he couldn't get open on that one. Oh, he dropped that one. Wouldn't it be nice to at least get back to that and, you know, analyze his actual ability and performance?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when I grow up, I want to, like, do what you guys do. I wish I could do that, but I know it's hard to get into, like, the sports, like radio shows. But I always try and pre-draft, like, when the Patriots have the draft, I always try and pick who would they pick. And I picked Aaron Dobson for like the second or third round. When we picked him, I was all excited because I saw all the things he could do at Marshall. And I think hopefully by the end of this year, he can start doing a couple of those things for us.
We'll find out. He's going to have a chance, right? Tonight?
Oh,
tonight's
yeah.
The night. MVP.
Tonight's the night, Andy. All right. Have a good one, guys. I threw him out there.
All right. Thanks for the call, Michael.
If we're going to take away the options, then I have to go with the options.
If we're going to take away the real options.
Let's go down south, talk to Joe in Baton Rouge. What's up, Joe?
Baton Rouge.
Hey, guys. I'm a longtime listener. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Welcome aboard. We'd love to have you talk.
I love having you for my rides home, but I've never called before because I've never felt strongly about something, but this season's not sitting well with me. I'll tell you, after week one when Tampa Bay got blown up, one of the radio guys had Ninkovich on, and they, you know, the radio guy was totally downplaying how badly the team must have felt about Logan Mankins being traded, because he said, well, how do you think Logan feels? And Ninkovich was silent. And it really just was a window into how sucker-punched this team felt when Logan was traded. And I'll tell you, I think the mood is, up and down this team, is that the guys at the top don't care about the little man, don't care about this season. They care about the bottom line. And I think the heart of this team is ripped out. And I don't think there's a lot of emotional reserve. I don't think we're going to see what we want to see tonight, and that's a scrappy team come together. I think these players feel like they've been betrayed. I think Tom Brady took a pay cut, and he was betrayed. I think the whole team is just tired of it, really. That's kind of my sense of it.
Well, and
on a positive note, guys, do you think our big statue that plays left tackle now would be a pretty good left guard?
No, I don't think he's all that well suited for the guard interior play. No. Too tall, not thick enough, not beefy enough. I think weakness is an issue. He's a tackle. For better or worse, he's your tackle. Just getting back to the other thing, you know, the sort of punched in the gut. That's also one of the problems with having Bill Belichick be the man. Because players know he's the GM. He's the decision maker. So there's no separation. You know, I didn't want to trade Logan, but, you know, the guys upstairs, they felt like they had to do it. There's no separation of power. There's no separation of emotion. And that's a game you play when you have the total control and you make the decisions on the trades and contracts and things of that nature.
Have an email coming in that is calling out Andy.
What else is new?
I disagree with this email, though. JB in Virginia writes,
I don't.
the statement that without Brady they don't have a team is so over the top and disrespectful to the rest of the players and coaching staff, both past and present. It's that kind of statement that makes me look forward to the post-Brady Patriots.
I wasn't on the show when he said that.
Did you say that?
I don't remember him saying that.
Would you say that?
No.
I would.
I wouldn't.
I don't think you have much of a team without Tom Brady.
I certainly don't
think
you'd have
any. In terms
of your
hopes of winning a Super Bowl?
This year?
You have no shot without that guy.
Correct.
You certainly wouldn't have had anywhere near the success that you had over the last 15 years without Tom Brady.
And if you're someone
to suggest that he's not a special quarterback is, I think, a little silly.
And to suggest that you're looking forward to the post-Brady era?
Also ridiculous.
Ridiculous on both counts.
You know what Charles Barkley said, right?
We got an email from Alan. He wants to know what channel the Pats are on tonight. That would be NBC.
NBC.
No matter where you are, NBC.
WNBC.
And I got to say, they bring a crew and a half.
They do.
To cover these games. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we give the insight into the TV crews.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a good point.
The Oakland game.
Contrast that. Yes.
Oh, the Oakland game, there are about six people working the TV broadcast. I'd say six or seven.
And I think Beetle was one of them.
Yeah, I volunteered.
Beetle was in the truck.
He had to coil a little cable up.
Tonight.
He was a key grip.
Tonight, they've got about, I don't know, 300 people working this broadcast. It is extensive.
The
crew that they bring for NBC games. It's always the case with these guys.
When I was leaving on Thursday afternoon to go do radio, I felt like I was in a commercial again. I pull over to leave the parking lot, and there's just shoom. Tractor trailer truck after tractor trailer truck and the bus, and they're all painted. They have like the players.
Super Bowl logos, like, oh, NBC.
How long is this going to take for Sunday Night Football to arrive?
And the bus
here
was all over the place this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It went up to the Topsfield Fair, which is
World's biggest pumpkin, right?
Yeah. And I think they were in Faneuil Hall for a little bit on Saturday afternoon.
The crew they bring is extensive.
Who got on the Gruden? Do they still do the Gruden bus thing?
For Mondays?
Somebody like sits on the bus and talks to him, and like it's a terrible interview. It's never a good interview.
This guy.
Is he still here?
They call him the cyborg.
Is he in Oakland?
I love when Caliendo does that. I think he does a great Gruden.
So
I don't, but I think it's funny.
The number of trucks is
so you're impressed with the...
I always am.
It's legit, Andy.
It's legit, Andy.
They got one game a week.
It's legit.
They do a nice job.
They do it up.
And I do agree with everyone. I think Chris Collinsworth is probably the best color man in the game.
Spotted him on the hallway. He's a tall dude, man.
Weird neck, huh?
Yeah.
Is that right?
He's got a little extra neck there.
You know,
it's like somebody like took him apart, put an extra
little Grogan
Lego on.
A little Grogan going on.
I know that he's tall, and then I saw him in person. I thought he's really tall, tall guy. What is that?
So you thought he was tall, huh?
Thought he was tall. Horse caught me a little.
Horses do have long necks. I would have gone giraffe, but you're right. Giraffes don't make a noise.
They don't make noise.
Just his whole face kind of looks like a horse to me.
Toys R Us time of year.
What noise does the giraffe make?
What does the fox say?
They just chew like trees, right?
Yeah.
With a big black tongue.
Are we going to talk about the Bengals at all?
Yeah, what do you got, Paul?
Any of the possibilities that the Patriots have of playing against this team?
Tell me about the Bengals.
What do you want? We've talked about it.
Let me throw this out.
No sacks allowed. They have one interception. They have a pretty good defense. What else do you want to say?
We can get into it with our buddy Jeff Hobson, who Andy and I really like because he's like he's one of us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
Bengals.com.
He's one of us.
He's not one of those that looks down his nose because we look.
He knows how it is.
You know?
Except Marvin Lewis used to do his voicemail message for him.
But evidently they've had a falling out because he says they don't like each other that much.
Oh, so now he really is one of us.
Yeah, he said that on the show. He said that on the show.
Said it here, last year.
Nice. So he really is one of us now.
Except
he's like what we used to be. His team's good.
Isn't he?
Let me throw this out
there. I might
be
totally wrong. Is Hobson originally from Cincinnati?
No.
He's from somewhere like
here.
Here, right?
Like Swampscott or something like
that. Okay. Yeah, okay.
He's got local ties. Him and Ed Bouchette.
Okay.
Must be an AFC North.
Swampscott. Isn't that where what's his name was from? The coach?
Dick Geron.
Yeah, Dick.
Correct. Let me throw this out there and I'll let you guys talk about it. Is there a possibility that after tonight we're doing the Xbox One Live post game and saying, you know what, we didn't see it, but the Bengals are overrated?
Yes, that is a possibility.
No. There's a chance they don't play well tonight.
Right. Are they overrated?
Where do you rate them right now?
I rate them as one of the best teams in football. One of the one of the five best teams in football.
I'd say one of the best teams in the AFC for sure.
I think they're the second best team in the AFC behind Denver.
I think tonight is their stamp game. If they want to be what you think they are, they come in here tonight against a reeling team, coming off a bye, and take care of business.
I think
Lewis has probably been telling them all week,
you're not as good as you think you are.
Right. Go in, and they're not as bad as you think they are. Don't go in there and think you're going to wipe the floor, because the Chiefs wiped the floor with them last week. This is still Bill Belichick. It's still Tom Brady. The resume we said to ignore, he's emphasizing the resume and trying to get them to come out and perform their best. But I do think right now, in terms of teams sort of playing the way they want to play, they've been among the best teams in football.
The thing I want to ask,
I don't think they're explosive in any real area.
They have an explosive receiver, but
they're going to run a little bit. They're going to throw a little bit. They're going to play some defense. They're going to manage the turnover situation. And if they do all those things, they play the game on their terms, and they've done that three times.
Yeah, I feel like this is a very, very good football team. I think they're a talented team. But I don't have, and this is, I guess you can make fun of me and call me hypocritical, because I'm we've been sitting there talking about how you can't simply base all your analysis. Those go right by me now. But I've been telling you how you can't use the history with the Patriots to analyze this team. But I'm not necessarily as willing to overlook the Bengals' poor history to talk about this team, that team, Cincinnati team, because I think Cincinnati is damn good.
But the situation you lay out there.
But I envision Andy Dalton, throwing three picks.
Well, I'll say this. In a weird way, if that were to happen, it reminds me of the Texans game a couple of years ago with the Varsity Jackets. Because for them, that game was on the road, nationally televised night game in Foxborough against the Patriots.
A game they've yet to recover from, by the way.
Right. And I feel like this game for Cincinnati is coming off the bye, they've had the extra week of preparation, they haven't lost a game yet, people are considering them one of the best teams in the league right now. This is their chance to have a coming out party.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Sunday night in Foxborough.
It's even better for them that it's on the road, because there can be no excuse.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's an even more impressive win for them.
Right.
If we're at home,
you took care of business at home. That's what you're supposed to. You ain't no home last year.
In terms of a early October coronation, this is a pretty good game for them.
Yeah, it is. It's a good one to line up for them.
Or it's a pretty good game to, they're still Andy Dalton, Marvin Lewis, and the Bungles.
And I'm not going to rule it out as a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be totally stunned by it, Paul.
The only thing I rule out as
they're
a possibility.
Still they still have Marvin Lewis as their head coach.
You know,
don't underestimate that.
I can't believe I'm going to say this based on all the games I picked the Patriots, but I'm ruling out as a possibility both teams coming in here and playing exceptional football and the Patriots winning.
Yeah, that's a good point, Paul. I'd agree with that.
I think Cincinnati's better if they both play well.
And a lot of people do. That is sort of the common belief right now. I saw a player saying that, really hammering
that. And I can't believe I'm saying that. Used to be, I would say all the time, Andy, when I made my pick, all things equal, and that translated to, it's not a -3 in the turnover battle for the Patriots. Patriots win this game.
Well, Paul.
They can't lose.
How many starting jobs did the Bengals have open in, week two?
I don't know. I will ask Jeff.
We're going to take a quick time out here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. When we come back, we're going inside the press box with Eric Scalavino. We'll get caught up with him. And then coming up at the top of the hour, we talk to Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com. Don't miss it.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks,
and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Protection you need, and do you have the talent around you to succeed?
We'll see. I mean, we'll see here in a couple months, you know, where we're at, but we got a lot of football to play.
Tom Brady earlier this week, when asked if he felt he had the talent around him to win with this team, he says, "We'll see, Paul. We'll see." Not exactly an endorsement of the guys he's out there playing with.
Nope.
On a weekly basis.
Wasn't quite Jay Cutler at Vanderbilt, but it wasn't exactly rah-rah, we're good enough, let's go.
No, it wasn't exactly leading his men into battle.
I didn't like it. Didn't care for it.
I didn't care for it either.
I'm an apologist for the guy, and I admit it, but I did not care for that.
We'll see.
Did not care for that. And, you know, there was other stuff in that press conference that was equally curious. I look at him as one of the... All of those guys, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, these guys just exude confidence. Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson. These guys are in control. They're quarterbacks. They've been the leader of their teams for a long time, college, whatever. That did not seem like a very confident press conference on Wednesday.
It just didn't seem like him.
Wasn't him at all.
Because, Paul, years ago, listen, when he didn't...
Years ago.
When he didn't have everything around him, right? I mean, think 2006. He was the type of guy then that he had the attitude that even if he was never even going to get into that question, do we have enough? Of course we have enough. If we don't have enough, I'll make up for it type of attitude. We'll find a way to win. We'll see.
When he was all in.
Well, that's cliche, but Andy, I'm with you.
No.
That's a real thing.
Like, based on the reports we hear today from Mortensen, that's when he was all in. It sounds like he's no longer all in or, you know, has some doubts.
Not buying in. Yeah.
You know, that's right. Like you're the president and your general's not exactly falling in step line with your policies.
Well, Paul, I mean, I would say this, and I think I may have mentioned this earlier this week when Paul was on 98.5. And that is, if he's saying it publicly now, right, if he's coming to the podium and saying, we'll see, and he's publicly showing that he doesn't have all the confidence in the world in these guys, is that something new that just popped up this week or this year? Or is that something that's been festering for a little while, and now he's reached a point where he's going to say it publicly?
See, there's the other side of me. I was disappointed in the way Brady handled himself. We've talked about it a lot this week. It was one of the first times the press conference was all about him, questioning him. Is he good enough? You, what can you do better? All that. But I also think he was trying on some level to toe the company line and not do the, yeah, we're good enough. We'll be better. We're always better. You know, trying not to fall into what we've talked about, the resume. And he wasn't necessarily trying to make a commentary on the talent around him as so much as we need to work at it. Nothing comes easy. You know what I mean?
But can't you
it didn't come out the right way.
Yeah, can't you play it a different way and say, I'm confident that we have the ability to get this straightened out.
But it's not just going to happen.
But not we'll see.
No, I know. I don't think he handled it
I'm
well.
I'm confident that we'll get this straightened out, is what I'm saying. That, I mean, that's how you say it.
Or there's so a way you're to admitting, deflect. There's a way to deflect.
Yeah, you're admitting there's a problem.
He also didn't do the Aaron Rodgers, which was relax, we'll be fine. He didn't do that either.
Right.
Totally a we'll see. Literally and figuratively.
Which, you know, by the way,
we'll see.
I appreciate the honesty on some level.
Yeah.
I do, because I don't want guys. I like it.
Because you went and booked vacation for January.
You did, didn't you?
No,
I can tell.
I don't make enough money to go on vacation.
Oh, for God's sakes.
When, it's just going to keep popping out kids.
Yeah, we just keep having kids.
The Duggar family.
There's a lot of things I could say about that, but never mind.
Okay.
I know I completely lost what I was going to say there. Andy.
Sorry.
Stupid Duggars. Bunch of psychos.
That's what he does. He just do what he do.
Go back to Robin.
You know what? No, Robin's not there anymore. Let's go to Frank in Colorado. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
what's
Frank?
Up?
Hey, well, you know, I'm tired of hearing the media, you know, downgrading Brady. You know, Brady's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned.
He was.
All time?
I got to tell you, Frank, I don't think the media is downgrading Tom Brady.
Right now, he's about 29th in the league.
And, you know, basically, I've been a Patriots fan since I was like 9 years old.
Yeah,
okay, I've seen quarterbacks come and go.
And he's
I've
the best.
Receivers come and go. But here's the main question. The question is that, you know, Brady, if you have no one protecting him, he can't do his job. If you don't have receivers, he can't do his job. But they always come after him. It's, well, Brady can't do this and Brady can't do that. Well, I couldn't do it, or you guys couldn't do it, if you didn't have an offensive line protecting you all the time in the pocket. I know he's a pocket passer, but he's one of the best of all time.
Yes.
He's way better than Manning, as far as I'm concerned. But if you don't have the talent around you to protect you, you can't play. You just can't. I mean, it's impossible. I've been watching.
Okay, but could someone else be doing better?
No, I don't think so. I think Belichick, you know, and they traded Mankins. What the hell that was all about, I have no idea. I mean, this guy's a Pro Bowler, you know, and they get rid of him. Now they cut this other one, Dobson. You know, I mean,
Tompkins.
Brady is Brady. Tompkins. No matter what you try, and Glazer said it best. You know, this is my opinion. It doesn't matter. Whatever you throw at Brady, he's going to make it work. He always has in the past. But for some odd reason this season, he can't get it done.
Frank, thanks for the call.
I agree. I agree with everything Frank just said.
I think
for some reason he's not getting it done this year. So, okay. We're all on the same page.
Yeah, I think there are a few things that Tom Brady could have done better, but I don't think he's the problem.
Absolutely not.
I don't think he's the problem.
And part of the problem.
He's part of it.
Yeah, I also don't think that people have been really beating up on Tom
Brady.
No,
it's the opposite. There's been more Franks than anything else.
I would say that, Frank, people haven't been beating up on Tom Brady in the media. Like, I don't think he's faced any kind of serious over-the-top criticism so far.
Totally agree.
I think it's been pretty
fair. It's true in 2001. Well, more like 2000, you know, 1999, 2000, Drew. More than 2001, because by the time it got to 2001, it was a whole year plus of Drew being mediocre at best. This is new. This is four games.
Daniel writes in webradio at patriots.com. So, Paul, if the Patriots play well and win, will you say at the end of the game, well, it was only because the Bengals flopped, or will you give us credit? Maybe this will be the fire under the ass the team needs to build from going forward. I could care less.
The Patriots need to win, period.
As he writes, I could care less how they get the W.
Yeah, now, the answer to your question would be I need to see it first. Did the Broncos flop? You know when a team hands you a game, right?
Yep.
So is that why they won? They need to win. Style points do not matter tonight for the Patriots.
They can take it.
They need to win. But if we're going to make any grandiose statements about the future based on tonight, they need to beat Cincinnati while Cincinnati comes to play, right? What are we really talking about? The ability to win the AFC East or the ability to compete for the Super Bowl? And I think if you want to win the Super Bowl, if you want to be a competitor in the AFC, you have to play with teams like Cincinnati. And at home, you should be able to do that. You should have an advantage tonight, right?
Yeah, yep.
You should be able to – you're an AFC contender, and you have an AFC contender coming into your building. You should win the game, right?
Mm-hmm. That's how I would feel.
But we don't all feel like that because the Patriots haven't played well, and Cincinnati has.
Trevor writes in, you guys might know about this. I have not seen this anywhere. Did you guys hear about Vince's speech? He apparently gave a rare speech in the locker room after the loss to Kansas City. Have you guys seen anything?
Yes,
like
that?
That
was a Pro Football Talk report, so take it with a grain of salt. But apparently, right after the game.
And Andy's grudge against them continues.
Right after the game at
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Apparently, basically the message was it's, you know, early in the season, nothing's over. But it was sort of seen as something that was out of the norm for Vince to do. And then I'll give you a little inside scoop. Fred Kirsch told us, and he may have told this story on PFW in Progress, but when they were waiting to get on the plane, the veterans were all sort of sitting together, and Brady and Will Fork. So, you know, maybe the veterans kind of felt what something needed to be said and felt things needed to be said after that game.
Let's go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
Joining us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline is Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com. Welcoming him aboard. Jeff, let's lead off with this. This is obviously a big stage for the Bengals tonight, being Sunday Night Football, coming off the bye on the road against the Patriots. How are they approaching this game? And in the Bengals' minds, is this a really big opportunity for them to prove themselves to, you know, the NFL?
It clearly is, but I think they can't look at it that way because they've come upon this time and time again and haven't been able to get over the hump in prime time or in the playoffs, because any one of those, a good performance there would get them over the so-called hump, and they haven't really got there yet. And so I think this year's approach is literally just taking them one at a time, because the way they've kind of grappled with trying to find that big win, it hasn't helped them. And, you know, clearly it's a passing of the torch opportunity, but they can't look at it that way because that mindset has not helped them.
Jeff, obviously, if you look at the stats, one of the things that jumps off the page for the Bengals through three games is they have one turnover. They've forced turnovers. They have the best turnover differential in the NFL. Haven't been sacked yet. And I would just ask you, as someone who's watched every minute of those three games, is any of that circumstantial, or is that an indication of how well they've played?
I think it's a major reason. I think it's a major reflection of what Hugh Jackson has brought to them as the offensive coordinator. He has stressed running the ball, no mistakes, the run setting up the pass. Before the pass, it's simply been window dressing. They had put too much on the quarterback. This year they reverted things. Everything starts with the run, less pressure on Dalton, less pressure on the offensive line, and it has clearly showed up with Dalton has one pick, and they've allowed no sacks. Clearly, Jackson's philosophy has taken root.
Now, Jeff, they obviously want to run the ball, as you said, and that's what Hugh Jackson's been doing. But I noticed Bernard is down around 3.4 a carry. Is that strictly a volume kind of thing? They've had leads and they've been running the clock out. Maybe the average doesn't look as good as it has been, or has Bernard been a little bit ineffective early on?
Well, they aren't happy with that, but take a look at Hill's yard per, which is 5.1.
And that's why I asked.
They're blocking somebody, so I think at some point they're going to have to decide who's their bell cow back and who's their complimentary back. I think, you know, they'll eventually reach that point. But, yes, they would like to get better in their yards per. They're only at 3.6, but some of that is circumstantial. They have teams have been loading the box on them when they've had the lead. I mean, they've had the lead for all but 48 seconds, so they've faced a lot of 8-9-man fronts. But, yeah, that is one thing they have to do better. But I also expect through the year to get more of a dose of Hill. And to me, he strikes me as one of these guys who's a 4.6, 4.8 guy, no matter where no matter who you line him up behind.
Jeff, Geno Atkins obviously coming off the ACL, maybe isn't quite up to his all-pro standards, but obviously he faces an offensive line that's in turmoil tonight. Where do you think he's at in his progression back from the injury, and how capable is he right now of taking advantage of this offensive line?
Well, we really don't know because we haven't seen much of him. Now, he's played, he practiced this week all 3 days, didn't take any time off. That was good, but it's been a slow process for him. He's not been the Geno of old, although he has gotten better with every game. I thought he played pretty effectively the last time out against Tennessee, so he's had 2 weeks to rest it. So I think he's got a real shot today to be a factor. If he's not, they'll be in trouble. I mean, they will get an idea right away if he's his old self, because he really should be his old self tonight again, with what's going on up front in the wings.
Now, how much of a concern? I know that injuries early. You don't usually like to have an early bye week like Cincinnati did. But they weren't able to get everybody back that I think they were hoping for, specifically Perfect. He's not able to go tonight. How much of a factor has that been for that defense?
Well, I mean, they've won games without him, but they've also given up 5.1 on the ground. So clearly, you know, that's more than they'd be giving up than if he was on the field. But they get a lot of good play from Vincent Rader back up, you know. They get Ray Malouba on the field a little bit more, who's a very good player against the run. The guy who's been taking all the snaps and has been a terrific player so far is a guy doesn't really know about, but I think he's the next guy to have a breakout year, kind of like a Perfect number 59, Lemieux, 6'4" guy, 240 pounds, can run like the wind and he'll hit you. So clearly they're not as effective as they are with. When they have Perfect in the lineup, but they can get by. You know, I mean, I don't think it's somewhere they get by for the long haul without him. But Vinny Ray's played a lot of good football for this team off the bench, and I expect with the bye, the bye is a real big advantage for this team, and I think that's one of the reasons why.
Jeff, we started off by talking about the big stage tonight and maybe a measuring stick going on the road, prime time, all that. As a guy that watched this team all summer and has been around this team forever, how good is this Bengals football team? Is this one of the best teams in football? Is this a Super Bowl contender?
Well, I think it's the best team the Bengals have had under Marvin Lewis, and I think because it's of their mental approach to it. Like I talked to you about before, they would seem to wander. They would seem to squander the big moments in the spotlight. That's why this thing will be very interesting. I thought a big win for them was the opener in Baltimore, which is, you know, that's kind of been a moment where they've had trouble seizing on the road, tough opponent. And it wasn't a primetime game, but it was a huge win for this team because that's as tough a place to play. You know, the only place tougher in the league is here. So I think that was a big one to get under their belt. But, I think no question this so far this team, it's the best one that Marvin's had. And I think not only because they're running the ball, and I think that's a huge factor. They're running the ball, they're controlling the clock, and they're managing the game. Things they never did before. But I also think the way they're approaching the game, we got to stack them one at a time. And this is one that they can't get ahead of themselves here. I mean, in this one, because New England won't be the New England on Monday night.
Jeff, first, I want to thank you for your time because we know you have a busy pregame schedule. And second, who do you like in this game tonight?
I like the Bengals. I think they're playing, I think they're just flat out the better team right now. I think the Patriots will still make the playoffs. I still think they're dangerous. I still think they'll be in this thing until the end and have a shot at going to the Super Bowl.
But I think right now, at this point in time, Bengals are the best club. I also think it's going to be an AFC North track here. I think Belichick will shrink the game. We'll try to pound it. The Bengals will try to pound it. And I see the Bengals getting out of here with a late field goal.
All right.
All right. Very good. Jeff, thanks again. We really appreciate it.
See you upstairs,
thanks,
Jeff.
Appreciate it.
Take care. Jeff Hobson joining us from Bengals.com. If you want to join him on Twitter, you can reach him at Jeff Hobson, C-I-N, as in Cincinnati. At Jeff Hobson, Jeff with a G-E at the beginning, not a J. G-E-O-F-F Hobson, at Jeff Hobson, C-I-N.
How do you spell
You knew you were going to hear that
How
one.
Do you spell go F yourself? How do you spell that one, Andy? Now we go inside the press box with our very own Eric Scalavino.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, we go inside the press box with Eric Scalavino high atop the turf at Gillette Stadium. Eric, what's the latest? What are you saying?
Well, thank God my Twitter handle's a lot shorter and you don't have to read that out. Boy.
Because he doesn't want... So what do you got? Ryan Wendell looks like he's going to start at right guard. So the rotation of O-linemen continues, huh?
Three straight games, yeah. That looks like the only change, though, thankfully, to that position. But, yes, it does look like we'll have Ryan Wendell at right guard and the same others we saw on Monday night. Stork at center, Connolly left guard, and your two mainstay tackles at the left and right, Solder and Bolmer. Defensively, a couple of changes. It looks like Alfonso Dennard, back from the shoulder injury, is going to be the right cornerback on the opposite side of Darrell Revis. And Deontay Skinner, the rookie linebacker, looks like he's going to take the place of Dante Hightower, who is out with a knee injury that we think he sustained in Kansas City last week.
Because that worked out so well in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I should look for Andy Dalton to march right down the field here.
Well, but I mean, what are your other options? Chris White, Jagarrett Davis, who just got called up from the practice squad. I mean, pretty slim pickings at that position if you need a backup.
Indeed.
As we were concerned about all summer, too.
No question. The Roosters are coming to roost, or whatever that old saying is.
Chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, and I'm guessing you didn't see any of this, but, you know, one of the topics tonight is going to be Darrell Revis. Does he match up with A.J. Green? I'm assuming you didn't get a hint of that in pregame warmups.
Well,
no, he didn't go against
really.
A.J. Green.
He really wasn't going to go up against A.J. Green in warmups. But, I mean,
but if a guy goes in motion, he could have followed him.
That would be unusual.
I hate you all.
Feelings mutual, Andy.
They don't usually do that kind of elaborate warm-up. They just line him up. They run a snap or two, and that's it. And he was lined up against Danny Amendola when that happened. So really tough to kind of project who he's going to line up against. But I'll be stunned, honestly, to your bigger point. I'll be stunned if he's not up against A.J. Green. But I was stunned earlier this year when he wasn't on Cordero Patterson and, you know, he's been playing off receivers most of the time.
Anything else of note upstairs, Eric, that you are seeing from the press box?
Beautiful night for football. Weather for the second week in a row, not going to be a factor. It's great conditions. A little chilly.
Clear skies.
As you noted earlier, though, kind of bizarre. I think it was Scott Zolak who first tweeted it out, but the Bengals requested heaters for their sideline.
Good for them.
With temperatures going maybe down into the mid-40s tonight, but a little early in the year for heaters, even for those temps in early October, don't you think?
No, you know, I don't fault them at all for wanting to stay warm. I don't blame them one bit. All right, Eric, thanks for the update.
I don't know why we're talking about it. Like, who cares?
It's this idea that they're soft. It's sort of like the Arizona Cardinals not wanting to get off
the bus. There could be no team in
the
league that's less soft than them. All they do is run the ball and play good defense.
But running is not necessarily
they run the ball and play
defense.
They're as physical.
I don't think they're soft. You know, you got that Paco guy on the other side of the ball. He's not soft. The guy with the big hair they put in at fullback. He's not soft.
No. Well, I'm just saying they're a very physical football team.
Correct.
One final thought here on the email. Webradio@patriots.com. Brian writes in, Andy, Mark, Paul, pretty sure the previous writer was referring to the discussion you were having about Brady having been the coach's pet for the last 14 years, and that if Brady's not content with what's happening, that represents a serious issue.
Yeah. And he's right.
And I completely disagree with the caller. The QB is the field general, but the head coach is the commander in chief. And if there's a disconnect between those two, it snowballs right down to
the
line.
He's exactly right. That's when I said it. I said if Belichick doesn't have Brady, he's got nothing, because that is the man who spreads the message down through the team, and having him in total in alignment with Bill's theories.
Yeah, that's a good email, though, that ended on.
He cleared it up. Well done.
Kind of sums up the week, because that's what we're wondering about.
A crazy week that comes to an end tonight at Gillette Stadium. The Patriots taking on the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals. Kickoff about 15 minutes from now. When this game is over, make sure you join us right back here at Patriots.com Radio.
Yeah.
Where we have the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. Myself, Andy, and Paul all back here right after this one is over. We'll talk to you then.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots take on the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday Night Football.
Patriots tight formation. Quick hitter Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side. Headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com Radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop looking to throw. Pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.